You said you sent your son to heal our disease. For you are the Lord our God, our healer. Now, God, I decree and declare that you would move by your power. God, move in this place. Manifest your presence in this place. Anoint me, God, to speak a word. Speak a word of healing, a word of deliverance, a word that would lift up the hung down head and mend the broken heart. In your son Jesus' name. Come on, give God the praise all over the place. I'm the Lord. While you're standing, turn, if you will, in the Bible to Psalms, the 78th chapter. Two particular verses, the 40th and the 41st verse. I stand before you humbly, thanking my God that he saved me, delivered me, and set me free. For if it had not been for the Lord on my side, amen, I stand before you grateful and thankful to each and every one of you that participated all last week in our appreciation that followed us to Zion. I thank God for each and every one of you, for there is none like our God. Amen. God said he looked and he found none greater. So God swore by himself. Amen. It ain't like he didn't try to find somebody. He just couldn't. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I honor each and every one of you. Amen. All the presbytery, all the mothers, all of you. I thank God for my wife. Amen. Amen. Psalm 78, 40 and 41 declares, how oft did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. Amen. You may be seated. Tell somebody, go get your blessing. Amen. Go get your blessing. We're familiar with the story of Moses and the children of Israel. After Moses led the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt, and after Moses led the Israelites, and they spent 40 very difficult years wandering in the desert before they could enter the promised land. The Bible presents us with a very detailed picture of this period of trial and testing that has become known as the wilderness experience. While most Christians today will probably never get lost in a literal desert, many of us have struggled with chronic physical illness, financial problems, bondage to some besetting sin, bondage to something they just can't stop doing. Some of you in here may know what it means to lose sight of your heart's desire, your goals, your promised land, if you will. It can seem just as unreachable at times or unattainable, just as the land of Canaan must have seemed to the children of Israel. Like the children of Israel, we have escaped from slavery. When we accepted Jesus Christ, we were set free from bondage to sin and to our old nature. But like the children of Israel, many today seem incapable of living the abundant life. It is one thing to be set free from slavery. It's quite another thing to be free enough from your former way of thinking to be able to enter the promised land. I'm going to say that again. It's one thing to be free from slavery. It's quite another thing to be free enough from your former way of thinking to be able to enter the promised land. Like the children of Israel before us, we often choose to live in the wilderness because we do not believe God is able to lead us unto the promised land. Somebody ought to tell their neighbor, I'm not about to be stuck or caught. I'm not about to be baffled. I'm not about to be perplexed. Nor am I about to be confused or bewildered about where God has taken me. Amen. Yeah, yeah. I'm not about to be stuck or caught or trapped or confused, bewildered or pondered or perplexed by where God's taking me. You should be tired of being stuck in your dead situation. You should be tired of being sick and tired. You should be tired of being confused, perplexed, and bewildered. Am I talking to somebody here? How many know their identity? Songwriter said, my name is Victory. Just in case you didn't hear it, I know who I am. God wrote it in his plan. The songwriter said, my name. Amen. Amen. See, that's why you got to start naming your kids responsibly. Amen. Amen. You know, whether you believe this or not, they named me Timothy. In the Greek, that means one who honors God. So every time my parents would say Timothy, they were saying, one who honors God, come get this remote. One who honors God, clean up your room. One who honors God, study. One who honors God, get in the car, you're going to church. See, but if you had named me Bobo or any other thing, you know, we try to come up with cool names. We have no idea. Pookie. Hey, amen. You have no idea what you calling your child. So you got to understand, we got to learn how to name our children responsibly. Our children aren't dumb, and we're not dumb, and we're not stupid, and we're not confused. You got to know who you are. Tell yourself, I know who I am. When I look at Psalm 78 and 41 in the Bible, it gives some insight into the wilderness mentality. Yea, they turned back and tested or tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. Listen, I read in the Message Bible, and it says time and again they pushed him to the limit. They refused to believe the promise was for them. They did not believe God was really able to give them the abundant life. Since they did not believe the promise, they were unable to receive it. The psalmist goes on to say they limited the Holy One of Israel. When the Bible says they tempted God, it means they put God on trial. Instead of believing his promise and testing his word to see if it would work, they put him on trial as if in court of law. They did not believe God was able to perform his promise. They tried him and found him guilty of lying. Since they did not believe God's promise, they did not obey his word. As a result, they found themselves wandering in the wilderness. First of all, let me say this, that Titus 1 and 2 says, God cannot lie. Hebrews 6:18 says, it's impossible for God to lie. The children of Israel saw great miracles performed on their behalf in the land of Egypt. They witnessed plagues against the Egyptians and saw the Red Sea part. They ate manna from heaven every day and had an intellectual understanding that God could do anything. Yet, when they saw the size of their enemy in the land of Canaan, we say, oh, I know God can do anything, but we are not convinced that he will do anything in our lives and in our circumstances. Everybody in it, oh, God can do anything. But are you convinced that he'll do it for you in your life, in your circumstances? It is possible to be saved, called, chosen of God, yet like the children of Israel, to live and die without ever entering into your promised land. or your promised inheritance. It's possible for your entire Christian walk to be one of wandering and wondering. Y'all get that? It's possible for you to get saved, come up here, skate down the aisle, shake hands with the polar bear from the pulpit. Amen. It's possible for you to give God your heart, give me your hand, and never realize your promised land. It's possible for you to wander and wonder. Amen. But you got to have faith that God can and he will do it for you. Well, entering into your promised inheritance, it's possible for your entire Christian walk to be wondering. Why am I wondering? Why am I wavering? Trials and temptations, never knowing exactly where you are or where you're going. Somebody should be tired of going in circles. Yet Jesus came to set us free from these things. So why is it so difficult for us to lay hold on freedom? I believe it's because we have been taught to put restrictions on God in such areas as healing, in such areas as deliverance, in such areas as living in victory, in such areas as prosperity. There are many today who actually believe that the wilderness experience is a normal part of the Christian life. Some have even come to embrace it as necessary for Christian growth because of unscriptural religious thinking. Some people feel the wilderness is somehow ordained by God. Let me help you get free. You need to stop limiting what God can do in your life. Amen. You need to stop limiting what God can do in your life. When God called the children of Israel out the land of Egypt, it was not his plan to make them wander in the wilderness for 40 years. He intended for that generation of his people to immediately receive the promise of the inheritance. And yet, that whole generation died without ever seeing it. What went wrong? What went wrong? The generation that, the reason that generation of children of Israel did not receive the promise is found plainly in Hebrews 3:19. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Is that not in the Bible? Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. The Bible kind of faith believes that he is a rewarder to them that diligently seek him. They did not believe God would keep his word, and it was their unbelief that kept them out of the promised land. Hebrews 11:13 says that the men and women of faith saw the promise afar off. Don't miss this. It says that the men and women of God saw the promise afar off. Saw the promises afar off. That is exactly how many of us sitting here, many Christians today, see the promises of God afar off. But let me help you. Let me help you with that eye problem. This was a problem. They saw the promises afar off. They acknowledge that the promises are true, but they see them up the road. They see them as meant for the distant future. The writer of Hebrews warned the church about the need to enter into the promises of God. Hebrews 4:1, there remaineth a rest to the people of God. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into rest. Are y'all with me? Stop looking at the blessings of the Lord for up the road. I don't know about y'all, but after getting to a certain age, I'm starting to realize that I got less in front of me than I had behind me. And how much distant, far off future can I look at? I need it now, God. I got to trust and believe right now. Let me tell y'all something. Undertakers, they be making caskets short and big and short and long. And if they ain't got no age limit on them. You got to trust God for yours right now. Yeah. Stop looking at it for far off. Well, we should desire to enter into abundant life, not out of motivation of greed, but because it is the Bible mandate that we are commanded to enter in. Y'all got that? Moses realized that if the children of Israel did not enter the land of God had promised, the surrounding heathen nations would say that God didn't keep his word. Y'all understand that? And just like them back then, the world's looking at us, watching us. You said you gave God your life. Tell me something. Why is your life worse than mine? Folks watching us. Folks watching, let me tell y'all something. Moses realized this. He started talking to God. Look, if you want them folks to believe that you brought us out here to die in the wilderness. The world today is looking at the church and saying that it is failing to enter into the abundant life. And they have come to the conclusion that faith does not work and God is not able. The writer of the book of Hebrews warns us in Hebrews 4:1 and says, therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. There were giants in the land, y'all. Yes, there were giants. You got to understand something. Giants just ain't going to give it up. You got to take it. Just like we have Jurassic demons in the land right now. We got giant demons, folks walking around, and they out of their mind. And you know what? Rather than do what we supposed to do as Christians, we vote them in office. This thing on. How do I know? Because the Bible says when the righteous are in charge, the people rejoice. I don't see a whole lot of rejoicing these days. Amen. Amen. Ain't that what the word say? So, like the Israelites, we look at the size of the enemy, holding our inheritance, and feel inadequate in our own eyes. You can find that in Numbers 13 and 33. We limit God in the same way that the children of Israel did. The rest spoken of in the Old Testament was the land of Canaan. The promise. Promised land. Flowing with milk and honey. Look here. Milk is essential. Honey is luxury. And there was a land flowing with everything you need and some extra and some luxury. Flowing with milk and honey, right? So, but they looked at the site. Of course giants is going to be where milk and honey is flowing. Of course the biggest and the baddest going to be there. But your God is an ever-present help in times of trouble. Some of you this morning have lost your hope. The Bible says in Romans 5:5, hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which was given to us. But God wants you to know that he is obligated to you by the promise he made. Y'all got that? God is obligated by the promises he made, because he cannot lie. When God told you he was going to bless you, he says, now I have to get you in position to receive my blessing and my favor. Can I tell you about blessing? The blessing. God's intention and desire to bless humanity is a central focus of his covenant relationship. For this reason, the concept of blessing pervades biblical record. There are two distinct ideals that are present when we talk about blessing. It was a public declaration of a favored status with God. All right, a public declaration. The second, the blessing was an endowment of power for prosperity and success. The blessing served as a guide and motivation to pursue a course of life within a blessing. In the Old Testament, when the blessing was given, one would have to kneel to receive it. Yeah, one would have to kneel. The history of Israel begins with the promise of blessing. God countered the curse, which had dominated the early chapters of the biblical story in Genesis. When God called Abraham and made a promise to Abraham in Genesis 12, he said, "Leave your country, your people, your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whosoever curses you, I will curse. And all people on the earth will be blessed through you." So Abram left as the Lord has told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai and his nephew Lot. Are you with me, saints? All the possessions they had accumulated in the land of Haran, he took that too. And they set out for the land of Canaan. And they arrived there, and Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of great tree of Moriah and Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. Listen here, my focus is on this verse 3 here, where God says, "I will bless those who bless you. Whosoever curses you, I will curse, and all the people on the earth will be blessed through you." So Israel passed to bless. They passed. You see that? So Israel passed is best understood as an outworking of blessing and cursing in Deuteronomy chapter 27, 28. So the blessing was a means by which ceremonial blessings were received. Remember now, with the blessing came the ability to be endowed with power for prosperity and success. This is why Esau cried when his brother Jacob stole the blessing. Because the blessing came with the ability to be endowed with power and prosperity. You'd cry too if you got hoodwinked out of the ability to be endowed with power and prosperity. So he cried in verse 27, chapter 27 of Genesis. Later on in Genesis 49, when Jacob was getting ready to die before he left the earth, he blessed his 12 sons and spoke prophetically over their lives, each the blessing that pertained to each of them. So we see there are three common themes that we present in the Old Testament. Blessings, when it came to pronouncing the blessing upon someone, the greater always blesses the lesser. Are you with me? The greater always blesses the lesser. The writer of the book of Hebrews demonstrates the superiority of Melchizedek to Abraham. All right? So the greater blesses the lesser. The blessing was a sign of special favor that is intended to result in prosperity and success. You can find that in Deuteronomy 28, 3 through 7. And the blessing is an invocation for God's blessing. May God Almighty bless you, make you fruitful, Genesis 28 and 3. to those who are obedient to God's command are blessed with affluence and victory. Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 14. I'm going somewhere, saints, but you got to be willing to accept. You got to be willing to get your blessing. On the other hand, those who are disobedient are cursed. Deuteronomy 28, 15 and 28. And suffer the consequences of drought, disease, and deprivation. So the curse is drought, disease, and deprivation. The parallels between the Old and the New Testament usage of blessing are striking. To be blessed is to be granted special favor by God with resulting joy and prosperity. So let's take a look. You had Boaz and Ruth. With the, can you say favor? Ruth was instructed to do something. She was obedient. She did what she was told to do. Now, the favor comes in where Ruth, she wasn't doing no different than anybody else. She was gleaning. But Boaz, but because of favor, Boaz told us, hey, man, leave that stuff down. Leave a little extra. Let's make it easy so she don't have to bend over so far. Matter of fact, just leave a whole barrel of wheat. You know, favor means that where everybody else all down on the ground, just. He made sure that they left some extra. Don't you bother picking that up. Matter of fact, before you take that away, add some more to it. Favor is different. Y'all got that? So, when you have favor, it means that you have gained approval, acceptance, special benefits, or blessings. Ephesians 1 and 3 says, blessed be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. The blessing is a part of your inheritance. Did y'all know that? Now go get your blessing. There are some people who may feel rejected, like Esau. But the Bible says in Galatians 3 and 13, we have been redeemed from the curse of the law. Jesus became curse for us. You don't have to feel rejected. Jesus took your place. All the curse is gone. And if you live right, heaven belongs to you. If you act right, you can get your blessing. Like Noah. Noah, you have found favor in the eyes of the Lord. I don't know how most of us think, but you got to look at yourself like I am the son of God. Look here, my dad had five sons. Yeah, right? Five sons. And, you know, he raised us all the same. Pretty much gave us all the same scholarship. Amen. He ain't do no more for one than he did for the other. All right? Now, what we took and did with what he gave us made the difference. He could give us money, and we could do whatever we wanted with it. But he also gave us inheritance of faith. And what we did with it determined what I did with the money he gave me. Don't miss this. What he did was he sat back and he blessed us all. This thing on. But because I had inside help. I had the Lord on my side by the time he started blessing. So rather than look at it as a means to just go party and have fun, I looked at it like an inheritance that should be flipped. I start to think, well, not only should I be blessed, but that little boy and little girl of mine and that woman of mine, I start looking at it like all God's people should be blessed. All right? Don't miss this. So, you got to look at it like Noah. He ain't leave here by himself. He took his family. God found favor on him. And it saved some other folks. Y'all better go get your blessing. Psalms 30 and 5 says, for his anger endureth but for a moment. His favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night. I'm sure y'all done heard it. His favor endure for life. His anger is but for a moment. But his favor is for life. Weeping may. You might be sad. You might have to go without one day. But let me make this clear to you. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Some of y'all don't understand. May I help you? The way God wants to treat you is that, look, I've already sent my son. He's already died. Stop looking at their faces. Stop being afraid. Stop being scared. Get your blessing. I've made the way. I opened up the way. Laid the foundation. What more? Are you with me? See? Blessings. You know, those folks, they just wandering around the wilderness. Ring around the rosy. Let me tell y'all something. You got to believe God's word. You got to believe him. Take him at his word. Stop letting folks water you down with they word. They word. The Reader's Digest. The news. Folks got us embarrassed to name the name of Christ. But I believe the report of the Lord. I believe God's report. So, when you come to church, it's not by accident or happenstance. You ain't show up just because God wants to fill you with something that will encourage you to do right. Fill you with something that would encourage you to do the right thing. How often do y'all hear me tell y'all that when you at work, you're supposed to work like you're working for God and not for some man? Man, if they took a poll, who in here liked their boss? Very few folks. But I like my boss because God is my boss. Amen. He's my boss. The heart of my boss is in God's hand. Yeah, don't miss it. Y'all, man, I can't stand her. She always telling us what to do. Well, that's her job. That's his job, tell you what to do. Now, here's the deal. Let me tell you what your job is, to do whatever they tell you like God told you. Do it right. Don't do no half-hearted job. Think about if God told Abraham, look, get out your country and your father, and he said, well, I'm going to leave, but I'm taking my daddy with me. I'm gonna listen to what you say, but I'm gonna take this influence with me too. In other words, let me try to make this plain. Get out of the arm of flesh, because you know he was living in his father's house. You got to read this. Get out your father's house and the land, you know. But the nephew was saying, well, if Uncle Abe going, something going on. I want to get around whatever's going on with him, because I know if it's blessing right here and he trying to get out, let me find out where he headed. Are you with me? Now, because we living good over here. And he talking about leaving. And the sad part is, he ain't even give him no instruction. Just go where I tell you. I'm going to show you on the way. Some of us don't have the faith. He done showed us exactly how to do it. And we sitting here wondering. Now, God should have pulled a trigger. Should have. You got to get courage to go get your blessing. Y'all know why Caleb? Caleb and his buddy was blessed. Because when everybody else saw how bad them other folks was, they knew how bad them and they God was. Look, I might be a sissy, but my God ain't. I might have a glass jaw, but God going to show me how to dodge, bob, and weave. I might not like to fight, but the way God operates, you may not have to fight. Are you with me? You may not want, you might be passive aggressive. But the way our God acts, if you just be obedient, if you just be obedient, you'll eat the fruit of the land. Everyone standing. Don't you know Joseph, no matter what situation he got in, he found favor? Joseph went to prison and found favor. Joseph went into slavery and found favor. And you know, that's how we get with it. We get to talking about folks. Oh, there ain't nothing but an old house. Old house Negro. That's how we get. But when you got God on your side, they can put you in slavery, but all of a sudden you in charge. Amen. And before long, you know what they did for Daniel? Daniel was telling Egyptians what to do. He was telling them folks, the scripture said that they made him Anan. Anan means that the only person over you is the king. Whatever he said is what they did. And you know why the king did it? The scripture says he saw that God had favor over his life. And the king realized that if I can just plug in to whatever he's plugged into, not only will I be considered a wise king, but I get favor too. Think about this. All the corn that you think the king didn't take his off the top.